No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you today?
Morena, Rachel. I'm, as good as can be. How
yep.
are you?
Oh, much the same. It is a bit of a level four mood at the moment, but we're doing well. We're doing well here. And we've got some questions for you that have come in from the listeners across the last week here at BFM, and I think we should just dive into the first one, which is someone who says that their contract has ended at their job and the new person has already taken it, but the new job I'm moving into has shifted the start date out by a month because of the lockdown. Are they allowed to do this? I've already signed a contract, but it didn't have a specific date, though I had verbally agreed to begin in early September. Currently, I'm without income and quite stressed.
Very understandably that this person is stressed about the situation. This is, I think something to know is that a verbal agreement is a contract. It is a verbal contract, mm-hmm. and it can be upheld. I mean, it's difficult because often there's no evidence, right? You can't prove that a verbal contract has taken place, but it is a verbal contract. So you agreed on a start date, and that's been changed without any consultation or agreement on your part. Mm-hmm. And so they've actually broken your contract. The other thing is, if you signed a written contract and it didn't have a start date, I would say that the start date is potentially the day that you signed the contract.
Right.
So I think this person needs to either, I'm assuming they're not a union member, because this is something I definitely think you could go to your union about and they would be able to provide legal assistance, but otherwise potentially go to a community law centre or just get some specific advice, because I do think that this employer seems to have actually broken the contract. If the employer is not acting in good faith, they could have gone and applied for the wage subsidy. They've got you on the books. They've got you with a signed contract, and they've instead just left you without an income. And I think that that's really, really not good in good faith. Yeah.
So what would be your advice, though? Because I can imagine for this person, it could be quite difficult. If you're starting a new job, you don't want to start off necessarily in a really acrimonious note, even though you're totally entitled to it. What would be some advice you have for maybe approaching this in a way that doesn't necessarily flamethrower the whole situation before you've even stepped into it?
It's a really good point. And I guess the thing I would talk to your new employer about, or if this is just a new role you're moving into, is, hey, I'm without income, and unfortunately I need money to survive. Would we be able to apply for the wage subsidy, since I'm already on the books?
Mm.
And that's not, that's government funded anyway. So that's what I would start with. But I guess, so that's definitely something you should do. But I would also just get some more in-depth advice. That's just my advice,
Yeah. All right, well, that is very helpful. Thank you. What else have we got here, Zoe?
We have one that says, I have been on maternity leave and my boss called me yesterday and told me that the person that was brought in when I was on maternity leave has been doing really well. My boss wants to know when I'll be coming back, because they said if I don't come back soon, I may have to share my old role with this new person. Is that allowed? What are my rights under maternity leave and holding my position?
So it's definitely not allowed that your boss would threaten you, basically, to either come back soon or to lose your position. So, there are sort of minimum, I can't give you details around this because I don't know how long this person's been on parental leave, right? So there are some differences depending on how long you've been on parental leave. But essentially, the first 4 weeks of parental leave, your job is totally protected. And then after that, there's a 26-week period where it's called a period of preference, right?
Right.
And if your employer desires, and I'm just going to sort of relay this verbatim because it's important. So if your employer decides that your job is a key position or there is a redundancy situation, you'll go into a 26-week period of preference at the end of your 4-week parental leave. And this means that at any time during this 26-week period, if your employer has a job that is similar to your job, they must offer it to you first before anybody else.
Right.
So they can't replace you, essentially. And they can't ask you to share your job.
So how would this person manage this? Because again, this is one of those situations where, you know, I mean, it's so terrible when you have to be kind of managing, you know, difficult relationships and also you're being put in a terrible position in the first place. But what's a good way to go about this?
I think in this case, I would just remind your employer of your rights and the law with regard to that. Because in a very polite and nice way, but just to be like, hey, actually, I've sought some advice, and actually, this is the appropriate thing. And so I'm looking forward to coming back to my role because I won't be sharing it.
Yes, yeah.
I think I would be a bit firm with this. Your employer should, you know, this person's... obviously been in the role for a while, is on maternity leave, and this boss should know their obligations to people on maternity leave, and I think you do need to be a little bit firm. But, you know, in a polite way, obviously. I would never recommend going in there and being like, hey, what the fuck?
Send the polite email, then call your friend to have a moan about it, I reckon.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, but I would be quite firm with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the last one we've got this morning is from someone who says, I work in hospo. Last lockdown, the cafe where I work was, in my opinion, far too lax about level 3. I'm feeling really nervous about when we eventually move into level 3, what it's going to be like at work. But I need to work there for the money, and I don't see how I can find a new job given the lockdowns. What's some advice for this person? I'm sure there's a lot of people probably in a similar boat at the moment.
I wonder if this person would be willing to take on the role of like a health and safety representative, because if elected into that role, there are certain you know, powers essentially that you have, right? And so one of the things that you could, firstly, I mean, I'm not sure you would be able to get training under level 3, but firstly, you know, if you feel that the work going on is, you know, not safe, or is a breach of your health and safety at level 3, you can actually make a formal recommendation to your employer and say, this actually needs to improve, or, you know, I will have to call WorkSafe. So WorkSafe kind of deals with enforcing health and safety laws, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you can do that in an informal way. I mean, you could call WorkSafe regardless if you're not a health and safety rep and just say, this is what's happening, I'm, you know, stressed. But I really would recommend for people who feel nervous is, like, where is the health and safety rep? Because they should be playing a role in keeping you safe in these, you know, it's not, your employers are almost never, well, I mean, some will, but, you know, the vast majority of employers, they're not going to do it perfectly, and some of them aren't going to do the right thing.
Mm.
And so that's why we need people on the floor who are, you know, aware of their rights, and able to stand up for them. And health and safety reps have power under health and safety legislation, so they can do that. So I know that might not sound very helpful to the person, but yes, being a health and safety rep would be really helpful in terms of keeping yourself safe. In terms of, like, if there's a breach, right, of level 3 at your workplace, I think people should remember that, you know, like, I mean, you can literally say this is unsafe work and we're not going to put ourselves in that situation.
Mm.
Or, you know, you can actually say that to your boss. You're entitled to do that. You know, if there's an imminent, like, if you feel that you are, if your health and safety are threatened, you can cease unsafe work. You know, ideally a health and safety rep should be there to guide that. I think the stakes are high, right?
They are, yeah.
In these situations, yeah. And I think we have to be really brave, actually. I mean, you know, our workers who come back to work at level 3, and just to make sure to keep themselves safe and to keep members of the public safe, because this is exactly how COVID will spread, right?
Mm.
I did
want to ask you, Justine, kind of bouncing off this question and remembering a lot of questions we got sent in last time we shifted into level 3.
Mm.
When people are coming up with misinformation around COVID at work, or with perhaps colleagues or employers who don't necessarily see the importance of masking or sanitizing, or even, you know, still out there COVID denial, if people are coming up against that at work, what should they be dealing, how should they be dealing with that? Because I know that puts people in an extremely stressful position, and it's, you know, a dangerous thing to do. What would be your advice around that for anyone who's concerned?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really difficult situation. I mean, I guess when we've had questions like that, the main thing is we can't unfortunately, you can't stop people from talking about these things, though, I mean, I think you could definitely say, actually, that's not an appropriate thing to talk about at work. But in terms of taking safety precautions, whether they believe in it or not, under the health and safety legislation, they actually have to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something to communicate to them.
Good to remember.
You know, it's like, okay, that's nice, that's your opinion, you still have to wear your mask, though. You know, just think of it like so that's the law. That's just health and safety law, and that's that. You know, so maybe just shut that down completely, not engaging in the debate and just being like, that's nice, you can believe that, but here's what you have to do anyways.
Yeah.
And I really feel for people who work for employers who don't, who hold those kind of opinions, because that is difficult. But I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, feeling empowered to stand up for yourself. And I always think that is easier together. So if you can do it with a group of workers, in a union, ideally, but if not.
And this feels like a good juncture to ask if people want to find out where their union, what their union is, if they're thinking about this might be the time to unionise, where do they go to work that out, Justine?
Oh, that is such a good question. I love that question.
I know you do.
Okay, I'll get you the URL. Yep, here you go. So you can go on union.org.nz/find-your-union.
Easy as. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for answering those questions, Justine. And take care in lockdown, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
You too. All right, cheers, Rich. Thanks.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you very much.